Well, everyone, welcome to the heart of the matter. Now, for the past several weeks, I've been telling you that Pilgrim's Covenant Church was planning, God willing, to take a stand for the faith once delivered unto the saints and to preach the gospel at an upcoming high-profile ecumenical event. While that event was last Saturday, it was called Rock the River and took place in Davenport, Iowa. This was a corrupt monstrosity which was staged by the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, BGEA. It was planned and directed by Franklin Graham, president and CEO of the BGEA, and he preached at it. Of course, that's the son of Billy Graham. Now, this event in Davenport, which was, by the way, highly and positively publicized by the secular media, was one of four Rock the River concerts. The first was held in Baton Rouge on Saturday, July 18th. It drew 11,000 predominantly young people. That's Graham's target audience. I could say the same about all these events, predominantly young people for the most part. The second event was held in St. Louis on Sunday, August 2nd. This event was held on federal property. I assume that's why there was no admission charge for it. The others had an admission charge. And it packed in, well, reportedly 65,000 Christian, we put quotes around that, rock music fans. The event we ministered at this past Saturday was held in Davenport Centennial Park, like the other events right by the Mississippi River. This concert brought in close to 14,000 fans at $10 a head. And of course, more money was brought in by the concession stands on the grounds, since these concerts are 6 hours long and fans are banned from bringing any food onto the grounds. Much more money was brought in. And by the way, Graham began far in advance making pleas for donations to support these events. It takes much money, a lot of money, a lot of overhead money to keep the Graham machine rolling along. And we're going to show that to you, Lord willing, next week. So I hope you'll tune in next week, because we have some, it's some pretty amazing facts, pretty amazing documentation to bring to your attention about the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association and Franklin Graham. Now, the last stop on the Rock the River tour will be held in the Twin Cities in Minnesota on August the 16th. Now, that event, like the one in St. Louis, will actually be held on the Lord's Day. So young people will be drawn away from their local churches to attend what I can only describe as a heathenish mocking of the Lord in the name of worshiping Him. And yes, all the way through this program as we proceed, please keep this in mind. We were told over and over and over that the music at these events was Christian music by Christian musicians, and this music was for the purpose of worshiping and praising the Lord. We heard it over and over and over in the media from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association people, from Franklin Graham. We heard it from the people, the very performers on stage. We stood without the camp, and trust me, we could hear everything going on stage. They could hear it from miles away, I believe. We heard them say, let's praise the Lord. This is to worship the Lord. Join with us. We're going to worship the Lord. And we heard it over and over from the mouths of the fans that we talked to, including, of course, the youth group pastors and other pastors there would say, well, this is worshiping the Lord. You may not call it worship, but we think it's worshiping the Lord. Talk about that more a little bit later. And I will tell you, there were many, many, many church youth groups there. Busloads and busloads and vanloads of youth groups who came to this event. And I know, because I saw them and I had the honor of preaching to them, of preaching the true gospel to them, and of also warning them of what they were walking into and warning them that this is the world in there. And you pastors, you're taking these young people as close to the fire as you can get them, and they are going to get burned. And of course, a main theme was the holiness of God. As I preached to bunches of sometimes 30, 40 young people with their youth pastors as they came by us in the place we were. We had signs out. We'll talk more about this later. We had other people were in different places ministering as well. And these are the things that we preach. These are the things we address: the holiness, the reverence of God, the need to be born again, to be saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. And we dealt with this monstrosity that was called a Christian worship service. Not a service, I suppose. They would say a concert, I guess. And these youth pastors, you could tell, they thought Franklin Graham was just a wonderful thing. We heard the praises of Franklin Graham sung by many people, including older people, and also, of course, Christian rock. There's the way to win young people to Christ, so-called Christian rock. And some of these pastors, and especially the youth pastors, they're pretty protective of their little flocks at these things. I know one of them got into my face pretty good. He was pretty aggressive. He didn't want his young people hearing the truth from the Word of God. So much of my theme as I preached was the holiness of God and worship acceptable to Him. And our people in other places had the same theme. And I can tell you, holiness and reverence for the Lord had no place, no place whatsoever at these Rock the River abominations. And in the last segment of this broadcast, I'll try to give you a little bit more of a report on our ministry this past Saturday if you're interested. But first, we have so much to discuss with our guests today. We have some audio clips that I think are going to be very, very interesting to you. And so I hope you'll stick around for the entire program. And I hope that because this Rock the River tour is a very significant evidence of the state of evangelicalism in America today and where things are headed. And it ought to provide a clarion call for the Lord's people, especially ministers, to unsheath the sword of God's word and do battle for His honor and His glory, to stand on the word of God, to protect the word of God, to contend for the doctrines of our faith, and to contend for the souls of these young people, for instance, and certainly for the purity of Christ's church. So I hope you'll stick around. I hope you'll tell others about this program. And then next week, we have a follow-up. We'll probably deal with some other issues as well unrelated. But we do have a follow-up, and I think it'll be quite eye-opening, the things we're going to be bringing you next week on The Heart of the Matter. Now let's turn to our guest today. We're very pleased to have Reverend Stephen Hamilton with us today. Reverend Hamilton pastors Lehigh Valley Free Presbyterian Church. It's in Allentown, Pennsylvania. He has, well, he's looked over some material we've sent him on Rock the River. He's looked at a few video clips, I believe, of Rock the River. They're proud of what's going on there. The organization itself, the Billy Graham organization, is putting these clips up on, I guess it's called YouTube, for everyone to see. Pastor, we have a very daunting task ahead of us today, and I very much appreciate you being here to tackle it.
Well, it's good to be with you again, and it is a very, very important subject, I agree.
Very troubling, isn't it?
It is, extremely so, because what we're dealing with here is another gospel.
Yeah.
What we're dealing with here is Satan's attempt to subvert, and he's succeeding quite well where Billy Graham and where Franklin Graham is not concerned.
Targeting impressionable youth. Well, let's do this. We have a number of audio clips. Let's listen. Now, we're going to hear a sample of Rock the River so-called worship music. And I want to just say up front, there was also a mosh pit at this Christian gathering. And yes, I will stress again, they said, even the organizers said, they're worshiping and praising the Lord this way. Body surfing. I saw a clip where a girl was being, hands all over her as they passed her overhead. A lot of that. There were all sorts of terrible things going on. Hip hop, rap music, whatever it's called, but also a lot of rock. And this particular music clip is from a group called Flyleaf, I believe. And the girl, very sexualized, if you would watch this, and long-haired young boys, I almost call them boys, I guess. They don't look like men. Don't look like clean-cut boys either, jumping around, jerking spasmatically like they've got some kind of devil in them or something. But let's just listen to 17 seconds. And this is a woman singing. And listen to her, the gruttle sounds that come out of her. Pastor, could you hear that?
Unfortunately, yes, I could.
You know what I'm going to do in just a second? I'm going to play that again. Did you hear that woman, that gruttle sound, and the crowd went wild?
Yes, I did.
That was animal-like.
Well.
Or demonic-like.
I'm reminded of what someone said one time when they witnessed something like this. I can't imagine such a scene in heaven.
That's a very, very good way of putting it. That's excellent. I never thought of it that way. Let's listen to that. 17 seconds again. And I can tell you right now, that wasn't the worst of it. There wasn't the, you know, there was some that's a little milder, but that was at very, very best, that was middle of the road. There was some much worse. Now, my plan is to deal with a few fundamental issues here, keeping an eye on the clock and making every effort to keep our comments very succinct so we can get to all the points we need to deal with. I want to read a little bit from a couple of newspapers. Now, Pastor, what we're going to do first is we're going to talk a little bit about the use of rock and roll. And, of course, the rock and roll culture, and I think it's very important to keep that in mind. It's a culture they're using, supposedly, to bring young people to Christ and to keep young Christians interested in Christ. Just a couple of comments. This is from the News and Observer. It's a North Carolina newspaper. Graham says, so I've been burdened by how do I get to these kids? His answer, the Rock the River Tour, a series of one-day music-drenched events that will begin Saturday in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and end up river August 16th in St. Paul, Minnesota. I want these kids to know that God loves them. I want them to know that Jesus Christ is the greatest hero that ever walked the face of the earth. For Christians, that's a timeless message. But will young people respond to a messenger, Graham, who is 57, to help make the case? Press kits touting the Rock the River Tour play up. Franklin Graham's years as a young hellion when he smoked, grew his hair long, and stayed out late on his Harley. Isn't that wonderful? Boast about your sin. And quite frankly, I've read one of his books, and I think he's making some of it up. Quad City Times, August 9th, 2009. And there's only one thing worse than boasting about your sin. It's making up sin to boast about it. Throughout the events, Graham said the message is the same, that it is aimed at the nation's youth. We are not changing the message, Graham said. We are just changing the lure. Kids today love rock music. We're giving them the music they like and understand, and it's all done in neutral territory. And all what we continually heard, Pastor, all the way through, you know, going through the press releases, going through the media stories, talking to people at this event when we went and did ministry, it was all about we have to understand this is a different culture. We have to find a different way to reach people for Christ. Well, go ahead. A few words on this business that, well, we can use rock and roll and this rock and roll filthy heathenish culture to reach people for Christ.
Well, first of all, the scripture makes it clear that we are to preach the gospel to every creature. And what is happening here, to me, seems to have no relation to the gospel as it is revealed in the Word of God. The fact of the matter is, as someone said, the apostles did not use singing services and singing meetings to get the gospel to people. The reality is that when you look at music in Scripture, music was for the glorification of God, really for a twofold purpose. It's to be sung and played for the exaltation of the Savior and for the edification of the saints. It is to be used in worship, there is no doubt. But when we're evangelizing, when we're preaching, the main focus of our attention is to be on the preaching of the word. And people will argue, well, kids are not going to listen to preaching. People are not going to listen to this. They're not going to listen to that. So we'll give them something that they're familiar with, and we'll seek to minister to them in that way. But the reality is that the message is lost. The message is completely lost because of the medium that is being used. It's not glorifying to God, neither is it doing the souls of young men and young women or anyone else any good, because the gospel, as it is revealed in the Word of God, as I see it, is not being preached in these services. The gospel is being mentioned, Christ is being mentioned, making decisions is being mentioned, but there's an awful lot of about feeling good, about being happy, about being delivered from your problems, about not doing drugs, about, you know, very much a moralistic message. And, of course, we would be happy that young people don't do drugs. We'd be very happy that young people's lives don't, you know, go into this downward spiral into sin. But the reality is that the music that's being used here, if you could call it music, is actually helping to further that, because young people are being taught that the stuff they're already listening to is okay.
Yeah.
It's fine. So remain in your sin, hold on to your sin, and we're going to add a few little Christian words here and there to the same type of music that you're used to listening to, and you can tell everybody that you're a Christian. It's a sham.
And these bands say that, you know, their heroes are Rolling Stones, Eric Clapton, and all these. One of the things, I was out there preaching to groups of young people, 30, 40 at a time. It was a great blessing as they were brought by their youth pastors in. And one of the things I would warn these pastors is they're taking those young people in to just get as close to the flame as possible. And they're going to get burned. I mean, you know, you see these young women dressed horribly. You see these the men dressed like sodomites and acting, you know, their long hair, their earrings. But would you mind if I'll give a few scripture verses here on the gospel and then have you comment again. We have Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 2, 4 through 6. But as we were allowed of God to put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts, for neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory. And oh, don't these sinners glory up there on the stage in themselves, neither of you nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. And then Paul also says over in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2, he says it by the Holy Ghost, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, he says, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Seems to me, Reverend Hamilton, those are just two examples, and I have others here we can look at, but seems to me, Reverend Hamilton, that we're not to use lures, worldly lures, as Franklin Graham says. We're to trust in the preaching of the gospel, which is, of course, to the salvation of souls. It's the power of God unto salvation.
Exactly. The Holy Spirit promises to bless his own word. That's the promise of God. My word that goes forth will not return unto me void. And as we preach the word, the Lord will use that to speak to hearts.
That's right.
But this whole business of worship, I've heard people say that this is worship. Well, is it worship or is it evangelism? There seems to be a mixture of thoughts here as to whether this is a thing for Christian so-called kids, youth groups from churches to get together, or whether it's actually for the purpose of reaching young people who are unchurched. Well, they'll say it's for the purpose of reaching the unchurched, and we can use our youth from our churches to do that. But if we want to look at worship, what does the Bible say about worship? By the way, the word worship really refers to worship. It's ascribing to God his worth because he's worthy of the praise and honor that we bring. So our worship is very important. Jesus said that worship has to be spiritual and it has to be sincere. It has to be Christ-centered. God is a spirit. They that worship him must, not might or should, it says must worship him in spirit and in truth. And in our worship of the Lord, we are to be singing about those themes that exalt the Lord and magnify him. The psalmist said in Psalm 40, the Lord put a new song in his mouth. Not the old song, a new song. And I believe that the Bible directs us to use music that will reflect the majesty and the glory of God and the gospel of his grace. The music that's employed in worship, whether it's vocal or instrumental, it should be compatible with the message that we preach and be glorifying to the Lord that we serve. Some of the clips that I watched, to be quite honest with you, I couldn't hear any words. I don't even know what the words were. It was just yelling and screaming, loud, head-banging music. And in fact, some of the kids who were Twittering one another and blogging one another about the events talked about head-banging. One kid said that his neck hurt so bad.
Yeah, I've got
after all of the head banging that he had done. I mean, is this music that is of God?
Yeah.
I believe that this is of the devil.
Yeah.
I have absolutely no doubt whatsoever in my mind that when you think that you're going to use the music of the world to reach the world for the gospel, you've got things completely turned around.
I think you've got a total contempt for the gospel as well. I mean,
yes.
The power of, you know, the gospel used by the Holy Spirit. And that's the thing, I guess I want a few more words on that before we, I've got a couple other things or another clip I want to listen to a person talking. But let's go back to that. I mean, what I heard over and over and over was, we've got to reach the kids. Rock and roll music brings them in, and of course, also keeps our Christian kids interested. We've got to do this. We have to do this. They're not going to listen to the gospel. And you know what comes to my mind, and I'll have you comment on this, a couple more things that come to my mind. Of course, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And we preached that quite a bit last Saturday. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm sure it came to your mind. It certainly comes to my mind. The Apostle Paul, but it's the Holy Spirit by the Apostle Paul, renounces the very sort of worldly wisdom which these people are using to supposedly save souls.
Yes. Well, what lies behind this is the Jesuit philosophy, not surprisingly, that the end justifies the means. Now, I'm not even sure about the end, because just because hundreds of kids put their hands in the air and say that they're coming to Christ does not make it so. It does not make it so. But the idea that the Lord is going to accept anything that we use as long as it will obtain the objective is a lie from Satan. And it really comes out of this teaching that's really popular in contemporary churches today, which is God just accepts us as we are. You know, this idea of unconditional acceptance, it's had a tremendous effect on the whole music debate, because it does away with the scriptures, it does away with all parameters, all guidelines. You know, we don't have to examine our music or anything like that in the light of the scriptures. You know, come to church just as you are. You know, we will try to help people to connect to God without having to jump over artificial religious hurdles. And this is all the philosophy behind this rock gospel. The idea is that you can just stay as you are and still be a Christian. It's not just, you know, come as you are. It's really remain as you are.
And I'm glad you clarified that, because, you know, stay just the way you are. It's all right. God doesn't care what we look like. God doesn't care. You hear that all the time.
That's right. Well, the Lord Jesus said to the woman taken in adultery, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." The Lord didn't just accept that the way she was the way that it was. He commanded her to change. And really, that's a lie that needs to be nailed. There is no biblical basis for saying that God just accepts people for who they are. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible tells us that God is a holy God who hates sin, and he extends mercy to repentant sinners. And to be accepted by God, we have to come God's way through Jesus Christ and on the basis of what the scripture says. The Lord never once told us that he would accept a sinner's sin. He preached repentance from sin to everybody.
Well, let me just read also, flipping through here, verse 17, we have Paul writing that Christ sent him, well, like all preachers, to preach the gospel. And he says, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be of none effect. And that's what I think we see in this. It just empties the power out of it. You know, the cross of Christ is of none effect. The Holy Spirit isn't in it. And he says, for the preaching of the gospel is to them that perish foolishness. Oh, we were foolish standing out there preaching, you know, just relying on the gospel and the word of God. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And of course, some skeptic's going to try to pervert all of this as well. But I'll point him to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we have Paul there testifying. How did he preach in a sensual, immoral, heathen Corinthian culture? He says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he further states, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In other words, be true, God worked faith. Now, enticing words of men's wisdom, you watch some of those videos. Did you see the demonstration of the Spirit and of heavenly power there? I didn't.
Well, I saw another spirit at work, what I believe is another spirit. You know, all of this whole contemporary so-called Christian music scene, it seems to be that the motive for what they're doing is that there's a need for young people and other people to satisfy their own desires for their favorite music. And so it has to be cleared away out of the way, any sort of idea that God is not pleased with certain types of music or certain types of dress or certain types of behavior. You know, you don't want that sort of Phariseeism, as they call it, brought in. You don't want to be a legalist. It all goes back to this big, fat lie. God just accepts you as you are, therefore he accepts your music. And that is false. It's completely false. I mean, you know as well as I do, brother, that music is not neutral. How often have you gone into an airport and heard this loud, head-banging music played through the speakers just before you're about to get on a flight? It doesn't happen. You know why? Because the airport authorities and the airlines recognize you don't want a bunch of jittery, fidgety people getting onto a flight. People are already nervous. This kind of music, or if you could call it music, is not going to be compatible with that. So what do you have in the airport when you're about to get on the plane? There's this gentle sort of music playing in the background to soothe. And that's really in keeping with the scripture, because when Saul had that evil spirit, David came with a harp and he played relaxing music, and you know it calmed him down. Yeah. Music has effects on people, and I believe that the rock music and Christian rock is just, I believe, a term that is not a true term at all. It's a misnomer. Yeah. You know, you may as well talk about Christian pornography as talk about Christian rock.
Well, that'll be next. But, I mean, we're told, I heard one Graham official say, look, if we can't reach these kids with Rock the River, how are we ever going to reach them? Well, I got a suggestion. Take some gospel tracks and go out into the world and reach them with the gospel. Preach the gospel. Share the gospel. There's many ways to reach these kids. Go out to the high schools. We've done that. Stand on the sidewalk. But you don't have to try to use the world to win the world. I have a, and boy, where we hollered at, where we mocked at times, I don't know what was going on in other parts. I had our people split up, but I know what was going on with us, and we seemed to be terrible people just being out there with gospel tracts, holding gospel signs and preaching the gospel and standing up for the glory of God. But let me play, it's about a 50-second clip of one of the band members, and I think it's interesting what he says. You know, talking about it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And to me, that says volumes the way he says it, knowing what he's just done, because it's not about the Word of God. It's not about that at all. It's a Jesus that these people have made up in their own minds. Let's listen to this.
I think it's awesome for Christians to come together, all denominations, you know, in unity, all different types of things, but all believing that Jesus is Lord. It's all about Jesus. And I think if us Christians can do away with some of those barriers, we can make a bigger impact. We all know that Skillet can't change the world, or Frank and Graham on his own can't. It's all of our jobs in this festival to encourage the church to do the work of the ministry. So I hope that Christians get really excited about evangelism. Most of all, it's all about people coming to Jesus today. You know, it's all about people saying yes. Maybe they don't want to go to a church. Maybe they've not been uncomfortable before in that setting. And they think, well, I'll come out here and see what Rock the River is all about. And all of a sudden they find out that Jesus is amazing and they don't have a problem with Jesus. They just thought they did, you know. So that's my biggest hope.
All right. We've got to keep this short. But he said it's all about Jesus. And people suddenly find out when they go to this crazy body surfing, moshing, you could hear that music for miles, trust me. This crazy place, this sensual, sexualized, horrible place, they find out that Jesus is amazing, and they don't have a problem with Jesus. They just thought they did. But which Jesus, Reverend Hamilton?
That's the point. Which Jesus? I noticed that Franklin Graham's event was supported largely by the Roman Catholic Church, by Roman Catholic bishops and archbishops. The young people were encouraged to take part,
yeah,
because
of
the assurance
that
they're not being proselytized, they're not going to be brought into an evangelical church. But here's the point. The reality is that the Jesus that they're talking about can be anything that you want him to be.
Exactly.
Because if you start applying the scriptures to this, if you're talking about the true Jesus, you're talking about a Jesus who died once and for all for sins. This is not a Jesus who is sacrificed over and over and over again by a priest at the Mass. It's not a Jesus who shares the authority to forgive sins with a priest in a confessional booth. It's not a Jesus who has an earthly representative who's treated like Jesus, such as the Pope in Rome. I mean, which Jesus are we talking about? If he says it's all about Jesus, well, how about those people who believe that it's not really all about Jesus because we must pray to Mary, or we must pray to the saints, we must have the intercessions of the priest, we must say requiem masses for people after they pass away. I mean, if it's all about Jesus, which Jesus is it?
And what about the rock and roll Jesus? I mean, you know, this is the word right here of the Lord Jesus Christ I have in my hand. What about what it says about how Christians are to live and act, and about sanctification, and how we're to worship God? And, you know, this Jesus who not only saves, but expects his people to follow after holiness, what about that Jesus that directs us to his word? For all matters of faith and life and practice, what about that Jesus? But see, that's the problem. Paul warned of this. Another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit.
I'm really interested in the fact that in John chapter 6, the Lord Jesus had multitudes, big, big crowds following after him. And when he preached the truth, those crowds all disappeared, and they said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? And, you know, the Lord Jesus was also one who, in dealing with young people on a personal level, the rich young ruler, he put his finger upon his sin, and when he put his finger upon his sin, the young man didn't come and make a profession, he didn't make a decision for Jesus. The Bible says that he went away sorrowful. You see, the Jesus that they're talking about is one of these easy sort of guys. He doesn't care about anything. Just come as you are and go away just as you came, and everything will be fine. But that's not the Jesus of Scripture.
Don't you think it's, and I think we have to move along here, but one more comment. Don't you think it's significant that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, Paul warns of, in this order, another Jesus, and if you have another Jesus, what do you have? Another gospel, and then what does he say next? And another spirit. And, you know, there is an evil spirit at work in this world. And it seems like that's totally forgotten, that people are deceived, and that, especially those who are natural men who are not of the spirit and don't have spiritual discernment, they're going to grab a hold of any Jesus which tickles their fancy. And Franklin Graham is giving them that Jesus so he can now boast about all his converts. And these guys are making good money, too, these bands and so on and so forth. But
Yes. We're
going to deal with that next week. Pastor, if you'll be patient, let me read some things. You know, I mentioned they had a mosh pit. I didn't used to know what that was. I bet you didn't either. But it's a place in front of the stage where people, well, they mosh. And what that is, it says, according to a dictionary definition, a form of frenzied, violent dancing. It's also called slam dancing. Now, here's where you have to be patient, and I hope the audience will be patient. I'm going to read some things here. And boy, does this speak volume. Now, this is from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association website. Real-time updates from Rock the River and Quad Cities. It says, and now fire flights out. You know, it's updates as it goes. Bringing their female-fronted heavy alternative rock. They're putting on an impassioned performance, and the audience of thousands is loving it. Kids of all ages and stripes are out there moshing as one. And let's go on from the Rock the River Facebook page. So this is all official stuff. Brooke. Brooke says, I got kicked in the face by a crowd surfer when Flyleaf was playing. Yes, I'm proud of that. Haley says... Well, Haley says, OMG, and we're not going to say that. It was amazing. I just got home. My neck hurts so bad from headbanging. OMG, wish I could see them all again. Heather says, I just got home from it. These are, you know, real daughters of Sarah here. I took amazing pics because I was in the pit in the very front row. I got smashed during Flyleaf and kicked in the face. Also, I'll have a black eye tomorrow. Then we also, going on, Rock the River. OMG from Jade. This girl was crowd surfing. She fell and broke her neck. And I was told over and over this was praising and worshiping God. And Shelby saw her. She looked pretty bad, praying for her. Kim says it was an awesome day. RTR did an awesome job. All the bands were great. She was saddened by the protesters, so we won't get into all that. But she was saddened by us, apparently. Let me go a little bit further. Rock the River yet. These are on personal YouTube pages now. Listen to this. It was a completely awesome day. My daughters and I were ecstatic to be there. It was their first concert ever, and they were pumped, not just for the music, but for the experience. And I can honestly say that I'm not a Christian believer, but it was a show that will not be forgotten anytime soon. My hat's off to Franklin Graham. He put together, well, I don't want to read all the language she now uses, you see. And for a non-believer in Christianity, I just want to say thanks to all. So she was really affected, wasn't she, spiritually? Mm. And then we have this. Oh, my. Well, I'm not going to say that word either. It's too close to cursing. That was so fun. I kept falling all over the place and me not knowing what I was doing. I was just dancing around, had a blast. Well, go ahead. Comment on this. Most of these were Christians. And Rock the River and Franklin Graham apparently is so proud they posted these things about people getting black eyes and broken necks and everything else.
Well, basically it's back to the same thing, that you're not calling anyone to repentance. You're calling people to have a good time. It's all about entertainment. I'm reminded of a statement by an old preacher, Martin Lloyd-Jones, and he said, the business of preaching the gospel is not to entertain people, mm-hmm. but to lead them to salvation. Mm-hmm. Another person said that the church's duty is to be a lifeboat and not a showboat. And I absolutely agree with that. The problem here is that you have people such as Cliff Richard from many years ago, he's still around, I guess, who are quick to tell us, well, why should the devil have all the good music? You know, let's not leave all the good music to the devil. But the truth is, the devil doesn't have any good music, and the church does not need the music of Satan to worship God. And the idea that you can take this wicked music, that's what it is, and put some weak, anemic Christian so-called message to it is quite wrong, because as Job said in chapter 14 and verse 4 of his book, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Mm. Not one. And you know, you're back to this, what Jesus said about the tree and its fruit. You know, a good tree will bring forth good fruit, Amen. And an evil tree will always produce evil fruit. Now, I've had people to say to me, well, you know, we've got to reach the young people, and how are we going to attract the young people? Well, if I'm using that standard, then let's do this. All these people who run to Atlantic City and Las Vegas and all these other, riverboat gambling and stuff like that, why don't we start inserting in the foyer of our church some slot machines to bring in the gamblers? I mean, after all, we could get them to come in. Or these people who like to have a drink, you know, they like to have a tipple or some alcohol. Why don't we just have a bar in the church and invite people in for that? Isn't it the same argument? Isn't it the same thing?
Exactly.
I mean, we're not using what the scripture says we should use to attract people, which is the gospel. And at the end of the day, the gospel doesn't always attract either. It also repels.
The bottom line is, I think, and I want to read a little bit more related to this moshing, but the bottom line is that these people are trying to save people themselves. What do they think? They're God? Do they think they're the Holy Spirit? We will save them. I was told by one guy, well, I was saved by rock and roll. Well, that told me a lot.
Right.
Let me just read a little more. This is something called The Advocate, Louisiana media outlet. Rock the River, a Christian rock and hip-hop concert tour of the Mississippi River, inaugurated Saturday at the sprawling LSU, Louisiana, levee lots, drew a crowd of more than 10,000 people, according to the official gate count. Now, I'm just reading excerpts. As the hard rock group Red took the stage, young people jammed into the mosh pit, jostling each other and beat with the pounding music that could be heard perhaps miles away. We want everyone to know God is speaking, Red's lead singer Michael Barnes declared, as the teens in front of the stage knew all the song's lyrics and sang and jumped along. Will Dover, 19, of Lafayette, was celebrating his birthday and danced so hard he could barely stand by the end of the set. I like this. Now, listen to this. I like this stripped down version of Christianity. I like to just scream for Jesus. Andrew Reinhart, 17, also of Lafayette, said he was there with his Ashbury United Methodist Church youth group. And I'm sure Bishop Asbury, the circuit rider, would have loved this. I like to throw down the name of Jesus. John Irvin, 15, of Walker, was there with his church youth group, Walker Baptist. I like to throw down with these guys I just met. I'm a mosher. The tour is designed to go up the Mississippi River against the current because the gospel message is against the flow. I'm starting to laugh. I mean, this is just so outrageous. This is so obvious. Because the gospel message is against the flow of popular culture, Graham said. And let me just add to that in another report. Here's Graham. As we head up the Mississippi River to St. Louis on August 2nd, the Quad Cities on August 8th, Minneapolis, St. Paul on August 16th, we will be going against the currents of secularism, postmodernism, and the godless culture in which we live, the evangelist reported. Please pray for us. Pray that he goes on and talks about, you know, the great work they're going to do and the power of God and so on and so forth. We're going against the flow of popular culture.
You know, they'll say, well, you know, people, young people got saved in these events. Well, I'm rather skeptical of that, I have to be honest. I'm very, very skeptical of their claim. But even if there were one or two who were truly converted, you know that people were saved in concentration camps? Does that justify their existence? Yeah. Does that mean that, that concentration camps were a good thing because there were people who were saved in those? Yeah. The principle is exactly the same. We've got to go by what the Word of God says, follow God's rules, follow God's guidelines for evangelism, and we step outside of those, we're into disobedience, and that's really what matters.
And this worship, Christian worship is this? I mean, we read about the mosh pit. You know what I thought of? This is what came into my mind, the priests of Baal.
Mm.
Remember them?
Yes.
They're moshing, they're on the mount, they threw them, and this was just part of their worship, by the way. This is the way the heathens worship. Throwing themselves around, cutting themselves with lances and knives, hurting themselves. I mean, these people don't cut themselves, they just hurt themselves in other ways. This is heathenish worship. Mm. That's what this is. This is the fruits of darkness, and you said it well. You know, a tree is known by its fruits. We're supposed to reprove this, not join in, but this is just Babylonish type music or worship, and it's another. I have that verse I quoted earlier referred to. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, and maybe I'll direct this to you youth pastors that take your young people there, ye might well bear with him. They bear with this, you see. But let's go on. Believe it or not, we're on point two. I think I have 4 points. We're on point two, but we'll just go through this one quite quickly, although I've got a couple very, very interesting interviews here. I want people to hear one at least. Now, you spent quite a bit of time talking on this already, but we'll just go back to this. We're talking about worshiping the Lord now, how we present the gospel, of course, and those sort of things. I think it goes to how Christians should dress, how they should conduct themselves. There's a real abandonment of Scripture here, isn't there? I mean, this is the danger. When you step away from the Scriptures and it becomes my opinion, I believe that's okay because, I mean, here's what we heard over and over, and this is nothing new to us at these events when we're ministering. It's always, the emphasis was, well, my experience, or I know someone who was saved by rock and roll, or I like this, or I think. God always has to be first. And
yes.
and if this doesn't, you know, if this isn't in accordance with that first and great commandment, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, then from then on, we're in bad trouble. And the Word is very clear on how we worship God. We think of what it says about reverence, with fear, in the beauty of holiness, how we approach Him. But if we're going to ignore the Word of God with regard to all these matters, then this means nothing. And isn't the whole issue then the abandonment of the Word of God?
Absolutely. It's the worship of man. It's man following the dictates of his own heart.
Mm.
And much of today's so-called worship, and this goes into the whole subject of contemporary worship, it's man-centered and it exalts man. I mean, if you look at the cross of Christ, look at Calvary, is there anything entertaining about that? About the Lord sweating great drops of blood in Gethsemane? The reality is that it's all about man. It's all about how, as you have rightly pointed out, how I feel, what I want to do. It's back to the center of sin.
But doesn't that go back to it becomes everything is subjective? When the Word of God is immutable, the Word of God is objective truth.
Mm.
It is immutable truth. It is revealed truth. And so, therefore, it is inerrant truth because it's revealed by God. And if we step away from that as the thing that defines, for instance, what we're talking about, proper worship, how to share the gospel, isn't that the whole thing today? In the world, there's no objective truth. You've seen it. I've seen it. You know,
yes.
Well, your reality is this, and to you, this is this, and to me, it might be this. Now, I'm seeing it among so-called Christian, well, Christian youth in this case, but also Christian adults we heard it from, and they have no objective truth anymore. It is all subjective based on their own interior feelings rather than something without them, which is from God, the Word of God. And I want to play something, and we'll comment on this. I did an interview. You know, after all the, we were all done for the day, I stepped sort of back into a role as a Christian media person, and I had a recorder. And I talked to two girls. It was a very friendly interview. I just came as the media in this case. They didn't know, you know, that I had even been out there at that point. I don't believe I must not have seen them going in. We were in three different places. And I asked them some questions. And the first question I asked them had to do with whether or not they thought that the music that was actually just playing right then honored God. It's only a 10-second clip, the first one. Let's listen to that. I'm with the media. Do you think that honors God with Christian media?
I think that their message is great. I think that they're fun, and I think that different people see it different ways.
And I think she went on to say, and I definitely think they're good. I remember that part of the interview. We cut that off there. But by the way, we were a long way from where the music was played right there. Did you hear what she said, Pastor?
Yes.
You know, I ask if it honors God. She says, I think the message is great. I think they're fun, and different people see it different ways. See the subjectiveness of this?
Well, our worship has to be based upon it is written, God's truth, not our experience, not our feelings, not the needs of the consumer.
Amen.
Or a man-centered version of the truth. What about worshiping God in spirit and in truth? I mean, that's what the Lord Jesus said we must do. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the problem is that these people who are involved in this sort of thing, they're not going to be guided by the Word of God in their worship, whereas the Scripture tells us that everything that we do as approaching God must be guided and regulated by the Scriptures.
Exactly.
When we come to approach God, the attitude of our hearts has to be that of complete submission to His will. And we've got to examine our worship in the light of what the Scripture says. And is there anything that we're doing that doesn't fit in with the biblical meaning of worship? I mean, you cannot exalt your own feelings over truth. And that's what people are doing all the time. Good feeling. Oh, I feel this, or I'm happy. And one boy who commented on his experience of the Rock the River tour when he'd been at the concert, he said that he had made a profession. He went forward or whatever because he wanted to be happy like the other people.
Yeah. I
mean,
that.
What about sin? What about getting his sins taken away? What about coming into relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and following after the Word of God? It's just, it's a pagan idea that everything is all about myself. It's all about me.
I know there's no talk of the new birth. I mean, we preach the new birth. We preach that if we're new creatures, old things have passed away, and those are the old things that should pass away. Now, let's go back to these two Christian girls. We're talking about objective truth versus subjective truth. We're talking about revealed truth, revealed from heaven by God himself, as opposed to the things we think are revealed in our own hearts by our own, well, our own wants, desires, opinions, emotions, and this is what are guiding people now. I think. Let's see. She that first time we listened to three sentences, and I count one, two, three, four I's. I count.
Yeah.
I think. I definitely think, she said. And she said people see it different ways. We're talking about worshiping the Lord. And here you and I would say, well, all the things we've said and that we should worship him, what the Scriptures say, with songs and hymns and spiritual, or psalms, I should say, and hymns and spiritual songs. She says this hip-hop craziness, that's okay too. That's pretty big different ways. But now the next thing I did in my interview, I gave them scriptures such as Psalm 29, verse 2, concerned with worshiping the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And then I asked this, would you consider that, you know, that was being played right then, would you consider that the beauty of holiness then? Let's listen to their answer.
I think it's great. I don't know.
I think it depends on who you are as a person. Like, some people love this, and that's, you know,
yeah, but
you have to worship as you do it, so you can't.
So what from the standpoint of holiness and beauty of holiness, and the Bible speaks of reverence, would you consider that reverent?
I think it's awesome in
what is it, reverent?
Psalm 150, where it says, praise the Lord with crashing cymbals and dancing, and I think that that's perfect.
Do you think it's reverent?
I think that's, in a way, I think for them that's reverence. It's, you know, for you it might be different. For me it's probably very different. But for them, that's how they get it all out.
So reverence is different for everyone.
Yeah, I think so.
Would holiness be different for everyone then?
I think it's how you view it. It's how you know. It's, I think holiness is, you know, like it's an overcoming awesome power, and I think that's the same for everybody. Now, but I think it's how it's shown.
Okay, first of all, Pastor, she doesn't know what holiness is, an overcoming awesome power. And did you notice that it's all, I think. Yeah. It's different for everyone. It's, well, for him, it's one way. For you, it's another way. It's all, she literally said, it's all in how you view it.
Every man did that which was right in his own eyes.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing. I'm always very wary of people who cannot back up what they're doing with the scriptures. Yeah. It's all about what they want to do. Yeah. You look at Ephesians 5, verse 8. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord.
Yeah.
Where is that in this? How about Hebrews 12, where it says, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. What is it to serve God acceptably? Well, how is it acceptable? Is it, you know, because Ralph Overdahl thinks it's acceptable, or Stephen Hamilton thinks it's acceptable, or some other person? No, it's objective truth. That's what sets the standard for us. It's the scripture. It's what God says, and that's what we follow. You're to worship the Lord your God, and him only are you to serve. And how are you going to know how to worship God? Because he has set it out in his word. And there's an absence of that in all that these people are saying. It's all the feel-good factor. It's all, oh, it's so wonderful. I felt so good. I got a real buzz from it, etc., etc., etc. It's sad, really.
It is. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. They're walking in darkness, aren't they? I mean, they're walking in darkness. And Jesus said, ye do err not knowing the scriptures or the power of God. It's the scriptures that keep us from walking in darkness.
Well, I'm always interested at the people in the contemporary scene. If you introduce scripture, you start quoting verses from the Bible, they react very negatively to it. They start calling you a Pharisee. They start referring to you as a legalist. And that's interesting to me. So in other words, they're rejecting the very word of God that they claim to be preaching, the very word of God that they claim to want people to accept, and they want the young people to be reached for Jesus, supposedly. But how about the word of Jesus? How about following the commands of Jesus? They don't seem to want that.
Well, let's move on. I've got a couple more issues I want to bring up. I'm going to turn now to this. We gave out our track, An Urgent Plea to Roman Catholics, which is very informative on Romanism, but also it's a good thing for Roman Catholics to get. And, of course, wrapped that track in The Value of Our Souls, a gospel track, so two tracks in one as we gave them out. And I don't know if we're going to have time to play this or not, but one of Franklin Graham's friends, or, well, actually a man that works with him, one of his close men, came out and tried to schmooze me a little bit and didn't really get anywhere.
I had the same experience in Scotland when we were standing against Billy Graham.
That's exactly it.
Very same thing.
Happens all the time. Anyway, let me just read something. This is from the Catholic Spirit talking about Rock the River, and it says, Archbishop John Neenstedt encouraged parish youth groups to attend. Representatives of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association assured the Archbishop, quote, that there will be no attempt to proselytize young people into an evangelical church. Each person, this is the Archbishop now writing what they told him, it's all quotes from him, each person will be encouraged to make contact with his or her church affiliation, whether current or lapsed, unquote. The organizers want young people, described as the least church generation in our nation's history, to be excited for the gospel, Archbishop Neenstedt wrote. Quote, the ecumenical nature of this gathering could be beneficial for our youth. I hope parish groups that attend will provide sufficient chaperones to not only watch out for our youth, but also to share the convictions of their faith with them. In other words, make it a Catholic event. And we have, I sent them to you. We won't go through them, but, you know, we have this promotion, Catholic youth groups being organized to go, you know, all the different churches, all the different youth apostolates and all that sort of thing. You know, they organized, they took busloads and boatloads to this thing. This man, Franklin Graham, is just brazen in his mocking of the gospel and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the purity of his church.
Well, I'm reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Mm. What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Mm. What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And especially this statement, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? The system of Roman Catholicism is a system of idolatry. It is not New Testament Christianity. But by his actions, just in the same way that his father has done for many years. Franklin Graham is taking out of the sphere of evangelistic activity a whole constituency of people, i.e. all those who are Roman Catholics. He's telling us we don't want to convert them from Catholicism. Well, what does he want to do then? What is it that he's about? If there's no attempt to, as they put it, proselytize young people into an evangelical church, or we would put that a different way. It's not proselytizing people into an evangelical church. It's getting young people to realize that the gospel of the Church of Rome is not the gospel of Christ. And if they are truly saved, they will leave that and they will start to attend a church that does preach the gospel. But they're thoroughly ecumenical in their practice. You know, they're not taking people where they are and saying, you need to be saved. They're saying, look, if you're already Roman Catholics, we don't want you to leave the church. We want you to be nourished and nurtured in your faith, and your youth leaders and your priests and so on can help you to have a deeper experience with God, and you can become a better Roman Catholic. That's what that is all about. And so, therefore, I would say about the event, not only is it wrong for the reasons that we've outlined, but it's especially bad in this area in that we have a whole constituency of people who are not truly saved. If they believe the doctrines of the Church of Rome, I have no doubt that this is true. If they believe the doctrines and the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church, they are not saved. And we're saying, no, they're okay. It's fine. That's what Franklin Graham is promoting. It's okay. They're all right as they are. We don't want to try to...
It's heart-hardening, isn't it, too?
It's horrifying.
It's heart-hardening with these people. And where he talks about his love for lost souls, this is not love for the lost. And, of course, you know, I don't think we have time to really get into this, but it goes back to, well, and I was told by Franklin Graham's man, the gospel is that Jesus lived and died and rose again, and you believe that, and you're saved. Well, that is the gospel. But the fact of the matter is there's more that people need to understand. There's more that people need to understand. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. You get into that, as I did with Franklin Graham's man, and suddenly, no, I don't want to hear that. So they preach just enough of the gospel that the Roman Catholic Church can say amen to it. You know, it's all... We're not going to have time to get into that, because I do want to... I have a number of things I have to deal with yet to be after I let you go, but I'm checking the clock here. Just a word on this. I don't know if you have, I'm sure you have noticed this, but when we've gone to these events, boy, have we noticed the fruit of this rock and roll gospel in the life of the kids. Arrogance, sensuality, lawlessness, selfishness, disrespect for authority and elders. I've seen plenty of proof of that. I have had these young kids, they know I'm a minister, they're mocking me, they're laughing at me, they're instructing me, and of course you have their cool boy youth pastors who, you know, are willing to get right in that. We get emails just dripping with sarcasm and disrespect from these kids. That is exactly what this produces, this rock and roll.
Well, again, it's the tree producing certain fruit. Just because you say the name of Jesus in the context of hip-hop or rock and roll or whatever it may be, this acid rock, heavy rock, you know, whatever the style of music that they want to use, just because you attach the name of Jesus to it, that does not then sanctify that music style. It doesn't mean that it's not any less godless and full of rebellion, because that's part and parcel of that culture. So it's not surprising that these young people who are into that music all of the time are taking on that manifestation or showing forth that manifestation of that rebellious spirit, because that's part and parcel of that music. You look at it, you've only to look at it, you've only to listen to some of those YouTube clips to recognize right away that this is just the old rebellion in a new form. I mean, way back in our day, you know, you had Woodstock and you had all those rock groups, and there are people now who are very dated when they talk about Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin and all of that. But that same rebellious drug culture mindset, it's still with us. It's just in a different form. It's more modernized. It's a little bit, you know, in a contemporary form, but it's the same thing. It's the same spirit that energizes it, and just because you put the name of Jesus to it doesn't make it any better. Yeah. It really doesn't. It doesn't make it any better. I could put the name of a church over a tavern, and I would go inside, and I would find the same manifestation of wickedness, because that's what it is. It's part of the nature of the beast.
Well, I'll tell you, what's shocking is I watch some of these rock and roll, Christian so-called rock and roll bands, and I can go back to when I was, you know, a youth and a young man, and the bands that I wasn't a hippie or anything, see, and the bands that I liked, I would rather have my grandkids watching and listening to those bands. Like I say, I wasn't a hippie, druggy
right.
type. I mean, they look almost wholesome compared to this.
Yes.
But I don't want kids to listen to any rock and roll.
No.
Well, we're just about out of time here. I don't know if you have one last, maybe a closing comment, and then we'll have to run.
Well, again, you quoted a verse earlier about worshiping the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And I think of the heavenly scene that is presented to us of believers harping with their harps unto God, singing praises unto God and to the Lamb, singing about the blood of the Lamb, worshiping the Lord, falling on their faces before Him in reverence and humility. It's so foreign to this that's going on in the name of Christ today in the rock gospel culture. It's a completely different thing. We're talking about two different things. Rock gospel, all of this, Rock the River, and all the great results associated with it, apparently, it is just so much chaff. It is just so much false fire. And I believe that the Lord is against it. I believe His judgment is upon it. And I thank God for the stand that you and your people took against it, just as we did against Billy Graham and his crusades in Scotland when I was a minister there. We were mocked. We were abused by those who called themselves evangelical Christians because we dared to put our hand against this evangelical Pied Piper. But he's nothing but an ecumenist. He is promoting the Church of Antichrist, and I believe that that will be seen more and more as time goes on.
Well, we'll do our best to help that be seen more and more. Reverend Hamilton, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Well, as I said at the opening of this program, we have just too much material to cover in one show. So next week we'll present the results of some very interesting research we've done on the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association and Franklin Graham and his ministry as well. He's part of that, of course, and then he has his own ministry, another ministry. And we're not out to smear the organizations or the man. The things that we will present are just facts, which they haven't even tried to hide, but they're very eye-opening facts, very thought-provoking facts. And I also have some very interesting and revealing comments from a Roman Catholic young person who attended Rock the River with his friends. And perhaps we'll get around to playing the audio clip of an exchange I had with a Franklin Graham associate sent out to do a little PR work with me. And I don't know what else we'll bring. But before we run out of time, I do want to do a couple more things. First, I want to read to you an excerpt from a Christian Post article dated May 17, 2008, not that long ago. Now, Franklin Graham professes such a great concern to get the gospel out, to get the gospel out. And he says we should even use rock and roll and hip-hop and crowd surfing and moshing and heavy metal and light shows and freaky-looking ungodly acting musicians to accomplish that. And by the way, give kids role models, just the sorts of which I just mentioned, to emulate. But what about the Chinese people, for instance? How important is it that they get the gospel? Is it important enough for Franklin Graham to support those Christian brethren who, when they're told not to preach the gospel, answer as the apostles did? Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Listen to this from the Christian Post. American evangelist Franklin Graham came under fire for saying he opposed evangelism during the Beijing Olympic Games. Graham had made the comment to Chinese reporters during his recent trip to mainland China, where he visited government officials, church leaders, that would be state church leaders, government church leaders, and preached to 12,000 people at a Chinese megachurch, that would be, again, a government-run, controlled church. The eldest son of the renowned evangelist Billy Graham said he opposed missionary work during the games because it is prohibited under Chinese law, and he does not encourage anything illegal. In response, a respected religious freedom activist defended Chinese house church Christians as law-abiding patriotic citizens who are not doing anything wrong by following their faith, which teaches them to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Christians cannot and will not concede to a faith moratorium in order to please an atheistic government during the Olympic Games, even if that means enduring imprisonment and torture, said Bob Fu, president of the China Aid Association. So there's a little insight into Franklin Graham, and I think it speaks volumes about him and his priorities, really his agenda, doesn't it? And we'll give a little more insight, as I said, next week. Now, as for a report on our ministry at Rock the River, well, we're running short on time, so I'll keep that very short. We were on site for over 5 hours. Now, I've already shared quite a few things, but we did preach to many, many groups of young people and youth pastors and some older people as well. At least one of the pastors did get combative with me. There were other people that got quite upset. In fact, there was one man that was making motions that he was going to try to jump me, I guess, and teach me a lesson, all the while claiming that he was a Christian worshiping God. Apparently, well, maybe they could say that was worshiping God too, you know, jump on me and start swinging at me. He, of course, didn't do it. It was one of those showy things. We held 4 different signs in different locations. We had Rock the River Dishonors God. We had Franklin Graham is no friend of Christ and neither is the Pope. And then we referenced John 15, verse 14, which of course says, ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. We also had 2 scripture signs. And we gave out our tract, An Urgent Plea to Roman Catholics, and with that tract, The Value of Our Souls. And we gave out, I haven't got a count, but it was thousands. I mean, there were people there that were listening. There were people there that were convicted. There were many, many thousands of young people that we planted seeds of truth in their hearts. And as I was preaching, I just felt joyful because I knew that someday some of those young people were going to come to a knowledge of the truth, and they were going to look back and they were going to thank the Lord that there were Christians out sharing the word of God with them and warning them and taking a stand for the Lord, but also for their souls. And we were also blessed, very blessed, by a news report. I was interviewed by a reporter just before we left. The reporter was from the Quad City Times, the local newspaper for the Quad Cities there. And I thought it was a pretty good report she gave. Well, it was just accurate. That's all. What more do you want? You know, it was accurate. I'll just read what they had here in the Quad City Times. 12 believers from Pilgrim's Covenant Church, Monroe, Wisconsin, traveled 2.5 hours to stage a peaceful protest against the Rock the River tour stop at Centennial Park. One man held a sign that read, Rock the River Dishonors God. What a wonderful thing. Just have that in the paper. But they put in quotes from me. They got them. You know, they were accurate in them, which is something to rejoice in. And here's what I said. Quote, we believe very strongly that this event dishonors God. It is trying to win the lost of the world by using the world, the Reverend Ralph Ovidal said as the bands played. It is not rational and certainly not biblical to claim that this noise is worshiping the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Those members, he goes on to say, who gathered outside the gates with Ovidal, believe in the gospel without embellishments and world-pleasing entertainment, Ovidal said. Then they give this quote also from me. I have a concern as a pastor that Franklin Graham is yoked together with the Roman Catholic Church, which is not a true church, but the false church, he said. So what a blessing that God would bring this reporter to put those quotes in the newspaper. What a blessing that there was a dissident voice, if you will, someone speaking there against what Franklin Graham was doing. And I was just so blessed that God would do this for us. And of course, all the people that were with us, there was about 12 of us. What a wonderful joy for me to be with these godly people who took this stand. You know, you might see the pastor that leads them, but I'm telling you, these people did a wonderful, wonderful job out there, and they had their heart in it, each and every one of them. And so I'm very, very grateful for them, and I was very honored to be able to minister with them and stand there and take some reproach for Christ, the Christ that we love, and the gospel that we preach. Also, I will mention I had, well, we'll be hearing a lot from critics. I had an email from a young person, and I had emailed him back and said, I'll answer you on the heart of the matter, your criticism. I'll get to that next week. If I don't, I hope he'll remind me. We have so much going on these days. And in closing, I want to just say a little bit more about an issue Reverend Hamilton rightly addressed earlier. There are many who say, without thinking, God accepts sinners as they are. Well, that word accept is a very, very big word. It means something. The truth is God saves sinners as they are. What I'm saying is he saves them. They can't make themselves acceptable. He saves them, then he accepts them because of what he makes them. He makes them new creatures. He accepts them because he has justified them. He has adopted them, and this has been because the atonement of Christ has been applied. The blood has been applied. Their sins have been remitted. They've been cleansed of their sin. The righteousness of Christ has been imputed as their righteousness in answer to the law's demands. Not an inward righteousness, but something that's without, something that the Lord God is pleased to look upon as theirs and to answer the demands of the law for a perfect righteousness for justification. So they become new creatures, born from above by the will and power of God alone. So, no, God doesn't accept sinners just as they are. He changes them. He makes them new creatures, and then he accepts them. So you can't do anything to save yourself. You can't get yourself all cleaned up, and then you'll be accepted by God. There's no works you can do. We say to you today, seek the Lord while he may be found. Ask him, implore him to work that soul-saving, life-giving faith in you. Salvation is of God and God alone. It's not, and it cannot be obtained. You cannot obtain it if you're a sinner dead in trespasses and sins. You can't just reach out and take salvation by saying a prayer, just saying a prayer, a specific prayer, raising your hand, signing a card. Salvation comes by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. And I'm telling you today, that faith is a gift of God. And that's what you need to seek after today. You need to implore the Lord to work that faith in your heart, and by faith and through faith, new life. And it's by grace alone. It's by grace alone. It's by the power of God alone. He says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. If you have thought you could be saved by your own effort or your own will or your own decision, you've been deceived. God saves. God alone saves, and there's none else. So look unto the Lord Jesus Christ today and be saved.